Hi, and welcome to Book Echoes. I'm author Connie B. Dowell. So we still don't have internet at our new house, but on the bright side, I'm going to get to enjoy a yummy coffee while I upload this week's episode. And hopefully internet is coming soon, crossing my fingers. But this week, we have a lovely interview with Suzanne Jacobs-Lipshaw about her children's book, I Campaigned for Ice Cream, inspired by the true story of her son's campaign to get ice cream trucks in his hometown. And he succeeded. He was motivated by ice cream and he changed a law and he got it. And it's a fascinating story about determination and taking civic action and, of course, delicious ice cream. And there's a lot to be learned from this interview, so stay tuned. In a quick update, I am still trying to find a new normal and get productivity back up. We still have things in boxes. We're still figuring out where stuff goes. We don't have enough bookshelves and we have tons of books. We did have all these lovely built-in bookshelves in my office in Houston. So all those books that were on the shelves came with us and have to find homes in the new place. So we have to find bookshelves to house them. So it's just kind of all over the place. And on top of that, Steve has gone back to work, but my kids aren't going to go back to school until after Labor Day. So I've got a lot of unstructured time to impose some structure on. And on top of that, I've got deadlines coming up for my next nonfiction book, Writing Without Childcare. So I'm going to be doing a lot of writing without childcare on Writing Without Childcare. but not completely without childcare, because at least, you know, I have my husband who can help out sometimes. And we're looking for a new drop-in childcare situation. Because while I can mostly work from home, sometimes I've got meetings or conferences or just a dentist appointment. And sometimes you do need to write with childcare, as I do mention in the book, because, you know, you can really just drive yourself up a wall if you don't take, if not a break to write, just a break once in a while. This is the absolute hardest way to work. And you can manage it as best you can, but you need breaks sometimes. So on top of all of that, I do have an interesting author business update of note that I tried to record in a previous iteration of this intro, and it started to get really, really long. So I am just going to roll most of that into next week's episode. And that is that I did my first reader survey of my newsletter subscribers, and I got some interesting results, some surprises, and some things that I expected, and some things that led me to ideas for, you know, more episodes for this podcast, things that could be episodes on their own. But I'm going to discuss the reader survey in depth a little more next week, because I did promise I did promise that I would do a solo episode at some point this summer about my launch of my last book, Dead Man's Jazz, earlier in the summer, some lessons learned from that, and the things that I learned from my reader survey, and the way that they're shaping the direction I go in with my writing and marketing in the future. It kind of all ties together. So I think it's best to keep it all in one episode and to prevent this introduction from being as long as the interview, which is about to follow, which easily could be. I just had so much material when I went through and kind of dissected that survey, which was a really short survey. It was like 9 questions. But it was fruitful. So anyway, that is what is up with me, but let's hear about what is up with Suzanne and her son and ice cream. So let's move right on to the interview. Here we go.
Welcome to the Book Echoes podcast, the podcast all things children's and young adult literature, writing, and illustration. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with children's author Suzanne Jacobs-Lipshaw. So welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, I'm really glad to have you and to hear all about your writing. So Suzanne, would you mind giving us a little bit of an introduction to yourself and to your books?
Yes, my name is Suzanne Jacobs-Lipshaw, and I am an elementary school teacher and a children's book author, and I always find it important that those two things go hand in hand. My writing influences my teaching, and my teaching has greatly influenced my book writing. I write nonfiction children's picture books. I have one book that was just came out on April 30th called I Campaign for Ice Cream, A Boy's Quest for Ice Cream Trucks. And I have three other nonfiction picture books currently in the works.
Awesome. All right. So let's hear a little bit about that ice cream book.
So I Campaign for Ice Cream is actually the true story of my son, who when he was nine, he's 27 now, wondered why ice cream trucks never came down our city streets. With a little investigation, he found out it was due to an antiquated peddler's law that allowed no peddling and soliciting in our town. He thought it was extremely unfair that other people got ice cream trucks and our city didn't. So he found out what he could do to change the law, and he went through a series of meetings and petitions and learned a lot about civic process, a lot about the media along the way, and the book just chronicles in a narrative form of what he went through to work towards getting the law changed.
Wow, that's an impressive level of persistence for a nine-year-old. Really wanted his ice cream.
He did, and that was important to him at that point in time.
Yeah, but also, like, what a great learning experience. Yeah,
it was incredible. And not only did he learn about the entire civic process, it ended up becoming a huge media blitz. And we actually were just trounced with requests from newspapers, TV stations, radio shows, even from other countries. Friends of ours were hearing about it in other states. I'd get calls. I just heard your son's name on the radio from a friend of mine in California, and I live in Michigan. So we learned a lot about media and how stories go from being taped right at your house into the truck for the channel newscast. They showed him exactly how the stories were made. He noticed there were mistakes in several of the articles or on the broadcasts, and we had discussions about that and looking at things with a critical eye. So there were a lot of lessons that came out of it that were and it was really a bonus.
Yeah, that is a really a learning experience in a lot of different ways, more than you would expect. So circling back to the book itself, what's something special that this book really offers to kids that, or a reason why a parent or teacher or librarian might pick it up and recommend it?
Well, there's lots of different layers to the book, and like any quality picture book, you have the combination of illustrations and pictures that really bring it to life. And my illustrator, Wendy Leach, did a phenomenal job of incorporating the look of our family and into the illustrations and really captured my kids. So that was important to me, but she also captured the essence of the story itself. She did some research on civic board meetings and a lot of ice cream research. So her illustrations bring it to life, and they also have a sub story. So there's a layer of humor that she's added that I think all parents and children will enjoy. The biggest thing is the message that at any age, whether you're 7, 9, 72, you can make a difference. And it can be as simple as something as wanting ice cream as a 9-year-old or something a lot more important that has to do with social change. And that message comes across to any age. It also shows that you have to have a lot of perseverance and persistence to get the law changed. This and to make some change happen. This didn't happen really quickly. For teachers, the book has fabulous connections to the Common Core in persuasive writing, opinion writing. Also, a lot of second and third grade teachers talk about civic government and their local government, and there's a lot of lessons in there that they can use. I am in the process of creating a teacher's guide, which I'll be working on mostly over the summer, and I'm hoping to get that up on my website for teachers, librarians, and parents. There's a glossary in the back, too, with all the terms, which is very helpful because I do use a lot of vocabulary in the book, and I do my best to explain the words in my writing, but the glossary just gives a little extra information if needed.
Yeah, excellent. So this story with your son campaigning to get ice cream trucks, is that what first drew you to write, or was it always there?
No, it was always there. I was that kid that when the teacher asked you to write a 2-page paper in third grade, turned in a 15-page paper. I was editor of my high school newspaper. Actually thought initially I would go into journalism, but then decided that working with kids was really calling me more so at that point in time. As a kid, I wrote a children's story with my next door neighbor. I did the writing, she did the illustrations. We were 10 and we sent it into a publisher. It was called Boogie the Snail. And that was back when you would actually put your manuscript in an envelope and mail it out. And very kindly of them, a couple months later, we did get a rejection letter, but it was written very, very sweetly and with a lot of encouragement for me to keep trying. And so it's always been a dream of mine, but, you know, busy raising two kids and being a mom and a teacher, and I just kind of put it aside. And a few years ago, I made a New Year's resolution to make a concerted effort to put some time aside to do my writing, or else my dream would never come about. And so not only did I make sure I had time, but I've taken a lot of classes, webinars, conferences, gathered a critique group, you know, really have gone full force into the writing world.
Cool. So you had the drive to make the dream happen, and you had a really incredible true story. What drew you to this specific age group to write for?
The age group is really second to fifth, even though it's a picture book. A lot of people feel picture books are not for older kids, but they actually are. And the picture books that are coming out now are really incredible. And I tell my students all the time how much they are missing out if they don't delve into picture books. And because that's the grade level I teach, that was the grade level that I really wanted to influence and to write for and to help them to see that there's a lot that they can get from picture books. And it's a great way to share a story in a quick format that the message can come across to kids as well as adults who are reading the book.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So if you feel comfortable, let's move on to talking a little bit about challenges. Yeah, you mentioned your very early efforts to write and illustrate as a child, but when you were an adult and really taking this seriously, is there a specific challenge you faced that you overcame?
I would say the hardest thing for me was when I actually started querying, and I was hoping to get feedback, and you don't get any feedback. And I find that a real challenge because my book had already gone through several times through my critique group. I had taken it to an SCBWI shop talk and had gotten critiques that way. I had also taken it to a conference and gotten a critique. So I kind of had the book at a spot that I felt was strong. Of course, I wouldn't start querying it if I didn't. And you get rejection after rejection after rejection. And it's not so much the rejections that were challenging. To me, it was that nobody was telling me why it was being rejected other than it's just not right for me. And I didn't know where to go from there. So what I did was I happened to have taken another course from an agent who was willing to, as part of the course, you're and I had gotten an incredible feedback from her. She thought it was publication ready and told me her reasons why. At the same time, though, a friend of mine's cousin was an agent who also had been willing to look at the story, and she gave me feedback, and it was completely opposite, said the story is not ready. And where the one agent told me the voice is jumping off the page, the other agent told me the voice isn't even there. So I was back to the drawing table, really confused, not sure what to do. And I just found that incredibly challenging. So I really needed to just put the book aside for a while and let things sit and try to make a decision as to what my next move was going to be. I didn't want to keep wearing it without knowing if I was in the right spot or not. So fortunately, I had an opportunity through a place called Edit and Get It, where they provide critiques for a fairly reasonable price. And I sent it out to an editor this time, a third person, who kind of came in the middle and found a lot of the things that the first agent really liked, she also liked, but also gave me some specifics as to what I could do to engage the audience in a little bit more in the story and, in her opinion, up the voice. So finally, I had a direction to go in, and that just made a huge difference. So I would say that biggest challenge is just not getting that feedback that, you know, as writers, we really need from the agents and editors. And certainly, I understand they're super busy, and they get so many manuscripts, it's something they can't do. So us as writers have to find our way, and fortunately, there's lots of other avenues such as this critique from Edit and Get It nonfiction and courses and stuff that we can take to get those for a fairly reasonable price.
That is one I hadn't heard of before, Edit and Get It. So that's a really good tip.
Oh, great. Yeah, I actually went to a wonderful nonfiction conference that they had sponsored in Florida fairly recently. It was run by Jennifer Swanson and Candace Fleming and Edit and Get It. Fabulous nonfiction conference.
Yeah, excellent. So that was kind of the challenge in getting things, getting the book ready for publication. Now that the book is out, are there any challenges you faced as a newly published author?
Marketing, as I think most authors would say, is very, very difficult. My publisher does a certain amount, but it is limited. And it's difficult to get into the brick and mortar bookstores, I think, if you are published by a small publishing company, which I am. And so I'm starting to just kind of hit the pavement myself and going to different places and showing the book. But again, I can only do that in my local area. Mm-hmm. So that's been a real challenge. And the other end of it is there's so much marketing that is expected through social media. I don't feel social media is my forte, but I'm trying my best. I got my feet wet into Twitter about a year ago and been working on that. And I also started with another woman, Vanessa from Micah Keel, the On the Scene in 19, a debut group for picture book authors, and also middle grade authors were a combination. So we're just, you know, it's just finding everything that you can possibly do. It's a lot of work, and there's no roadmap, so you just kind of go forth and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's what you can do. You figure it out as you go. Before I let you go, do you have any kind of parting messages or places where people can find you and your books online?
Well, I'll give you both. As far as parting messages, I feel one of the most important things about having the experience of a book being published is to not get too caught up in your sales, in your reviews, in how your social media is doing, but to just really enjoy the experience. And for me personally, the time that I can see kids enjoying my book is a huge part of the experience. So I've been working really hard to make sure I have those moments. And as a teacher, I've been able to read my story to all the classes at my school and at another school. At a book fair, I actually got to watch someone read my book silently for the first time. And I was in tears, you know, with her comments. And she said to me, "Oh my gosh, this is a page turner. I just can't wait to see what Josh is going to do next." And I mean, that's why we write, and that's what we really need to focus on, not all that other stuff that seems to be sometimes way too much in the forefront. So that would be my advice, just really enjoy the experience and the times that you have, you know, with kids and people who are enjoying your book. You can get more information about me on my website. It's www.suzannejacobslipshaw.com. As I said, I'm also on Twitter at Suzanne Lipshaw. And my book is currently on sale at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and WarrenPublishing.com.
Okay, excellent.
It's in its way to a few bookstores, and it's in some of the library systems, which is also in the
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Suzanne.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Alrighty.
Thanks so much for listening to the Book Echoes podcast. You can find the podcast at bookechoes.com, on Apple Podcasts, or on Stitcher. And I would really appreciate it if you enjoyed the podcast to leave a review at one of those places or leave a comment on the show notes at bookechoes.com.